Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up, Run Disney in-person marathons return to Walt Disney World. The team discusses the new Happily Ever After fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. And since most of us are being affected by Tropical Storm Elsa, we thought this would be a great time to talk about what to expect if you're in Central Florida during a hurricane. From various locations around the internet, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1135, for the week of July 6th, 2021. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Dreams Unlimited Travel, the experts at Disney vacations. Let us help you plan the perfect Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney Vacation. We even do Universal as well as other cruise lines. Visit us on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. My name is John Magi, and I will be your host this week. Pete is not with us. Pete is out returning his unused fireworks from last night, so he's got to get in line for that. No, Pete is on his way to Disneyland Resort, so if you guys are going to be in Disneyland over the next few days, keep an eye out for Pete in the parks. He loves to meet folks and say hi to them. I am joined by many people, and I didn't talk to Craig about how I was going to do this, so he's going to just have to go on the fly. All right, joined by our Orlando team plus one, we have, oh my gosh, I don't even know what your title is anymore. Associate editor, editor-in-chief, super editor?
No, it's whatever needs to be done at the time.
All right, I'm going to say super editor.
Bless you.
Danny Sunderley.
Hi there.
Who else do we have here? Oh, we've got, I don't know what's going on. Client Services Manager for Dreams Unlimited Travel. We have Kevin Close.
I am the super Client Services Manager.
You really are. It's because of the tights, isn't it? Our plus one is Agent for Dreams Unlimited Travel, Tracy Heinrichs.
Hi, everyone.
Is that and our super producer.
Yeah. Well, Tracy didn't get super agent.
No, she does not get super
agent. Yeah, he doesn't want to inflate my head. It's better to keep me grounded.
Oh, dear.
And our super producer, Craig Williams.
Oh, hoy hoy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you again, everybody, for joining us. As you can see, we are not in the studio this week. We want to take some precautions because Tropical Storm Elsa is hitting the coast of Florida. It is not as bad as they originally projected, so, you know, we're all safe and sound, but we thought we're not going to take any chances and we're not going to travel anywhere today. With that said, let's do a little housekeeping. Anybody have anything they want to mention for housekeeping?
I definitely do. Kevin, do you have something?
Sure, but I can wait.
Okay. Just real quick, Magic Candle Company, we have a special Diz discount code for this week only. This discount code ends on Sunday, July 11th in the evening. So the special discount code will get you 20% off your entire order at magiccandlecompany.com. So we wanted to be sure to mention that. It's Diz Info, so D-I-S Info 20. So Diz Info 20 will save you 20% on your order, and all domestic orders over $35 ship for free. So that's it.
Excellent. And those are the dogs. Kevin, you want to bring everybody up to speed on Kathleen? I know we've got some questions about how's Kathleen doing.
Kathleen's doing better. She is leaving rehab today. John and I are being protected from the mail lady. Here he is, she is. Kathleen is going, she's leaving the hospital, but she's going to stay with her daughter for a while. She thanks you all for the good wishes, and she'll be back being her feisty self pretty soon.
Excellent.
Do you want me to do more?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Tracy, I know we brought you in kind of suddenly on this call, on the show, but do you have anything that you want to talk about in housekeeping?
I just want to say that if you are thinking of a Disney vacation or Universal, but Disney especially right now, for next year or later this year, don't wait. We're finding availability. Sales next year are going really well. So all of us agents are looking forward to eating next year. So if you're looking for, you're thinking about it, but you're waiting for A, B, or C to happen, get your reservation in. We're noticing all the resorts aren't open yet. Availability is an issue, especially later this year. So $200 holds your package, and it's refundable up until 30 days before.
Yeah, we hope to see more availability open up. I mean, I think they're still working under, a certain percentage. I don't know what that is anymore, of how many rooms they're selling in a hotel, but that's part of the reason for it. But it's nice to see we've got, you know, announcements that the Poly is going to open up and things like that. So fingers crossed, knock wood, things seem to be moving forward.
Yep, we're getting there.
I just have a simple one. After everything is shaken out, we find we have a couple of extra spaces for our July trip. Our July back
March. It's our March trip.
No, it's not. I think it's a couple of seats in July. Let me look.
Craig, well, Kevin does that.
Yes, I do have a couple things. First, as you mentioned right at the top, Pete is traveling this week in Disneyland, and instead of being in a million different places with his social media and where he's posting updates from the trip, he asks that everyone follows him at PeteW126 on Instagram. That's where he's going to be doing all of his posting from, PeteW126, as long as I got that right. And if that's not Pete by any chance when you go to Instagram, then I guess you're just not going to follow along with all of his updates from the trip. But
beyond, hope it's like some really nasty Instagram account.
I'm really hoping it's not, but I'm bad with numbers and letters and, you know, basic literacy. So I could have got all of that wrong there, but that's where you can follow him.
Which is why we hired you.
Exactly. No, I was cheap at the time, and I've just gotten more expensive as the years have gone on. But if you also want to stay up to date with everything that we're doing specifically on YouTube, please make sure that you are subscribed to the channel here, hitting thumbs up on all our videos when you enjoy them. If you've been wondering where our dining reviews are, that's over at youtube.com/DisneyDining. If you've been wondering where the Universal show is, it's youtube.com/UOFan and DVC fan, DCL fan. We have all the different channels. And if you want an easy way to find them all, go to youtube.com/DisUnplugged. That'll take you right to our homepage on YouTube. And then you will see right near the top, there are links to all the different channels that we have. So you can stay up to date with all of our content. I know it requires a lot of extra work, but now you can actually choose which content you want to see. We're not gonna force you to watch DVC stuff on the Diz Unplugged if you don't care about DVC or moving to Orlando or Universal. You can now choose your own Diz adventure in a sorts. So that's it for me. I think back to Kevin now.
Back to Kevin. What you got?
I hate when John's right. We have a couple of spaces left on the March 27th Backstage Magic. It is the cost for two adults is $67.78. And when I say we have a couple, it's two. We have two spaces left. Somebody dropped out. If you want to go, let me know. Kevin at Dreams Unlimited Travel. It's not July. It's March.
Excellent. All right. Thank you guys for that. We're going to move on to the news. I've asked Denny.
I like that.
I've asked Denny to read the news for me. So take it away, Denny.
All right. First news story. New Coco-themed scene to be added to Magic Kingdom attraction. Mickey's PhilharMagic is set to receive a bit of extra magic during Walt Disney World's 50th anniversary. Announced just last week, the Magic Kingdom attraction will receive a Coco-themed scene in which the film's characters sing Poco Loco. The scene will be added to Disney World later this year and to both Disneyland and Disneyland Paris on Saturday, July the 17th. The film's fun, upbeat music and characters, combined with the humor of Donald Duck, marks the first time that Disney and Pixar animators have worked on a creative endeavor where characters from both animation studios will be seen together on screen. The new scene has been scored by one of Coco's original composers, Jermaine Franco.
Never saw it.
What?
Oh. I know. Horror of horrors. I've never seen it.
I haven't either.
I haven't seen it.
What?
It's on the list. Every time I go into Disney Plus, it's like, I have to. And I love the music. I love seeing it all when I'm... You know, I did love it. I don't know, for whatever reason, I've not sat down and done it yet.
Haven't seen Raya?
I mean, I can understand Raya, because Raya's just been in the past year, but Coco is easily top three Pixar movies. It is fantastic. I know Denny probably wouldn't rank it just as high, because she likes the rat movie a lot, but
I just immediately thought of that, Craig. I thought, oh no, can't put it above Remy.
No, but I mean, I think it would be in a lot, like, now that Pixar has how many movies, 20 something, I think a lot of people would make sure it's top 5 or top 10 at the very least. It's beautiful, the songs are good, you will weep over and over again, and it's going to be an amazing addition to Mickey's PhilharMagic. They chose a really fun song from the movie. It's definitely not the most memorable song from it, but it's really upbeat, and it's probably going to be wacky and zany like everything else in Mickey's PhilharMagic. And I think it's a great choice. It's really smart on their part.
I was disappointed when I found out that the movie wasn't about hot chocolate. That's false advertising.
Well, I think it's a great addition. I love PhilharMagic. I really enjoy it. I love having a new scene, so I'm excited to see it. And I will definitely see the movie before my next trip. I promise, Craig and Danny.
There you go. You do a little research.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
Cruella.
Yeah, we did. We saw Cruella. Loved it.
Yes. It's super, super good. I'm excited for Mickey's PhilharMagic because it does need a little bit of new life breathed into it. It needs a little zhuzhing up. And anytime that they can kind of just pop in, you know, this is one of those examples where we've said it would be so easy if, or easy for them to do this. Well, they're actually doing it. And I think that's going to be a great thing. And I agree, Craig, all the way around about Coco and just the color palette used in that film is so ethereal. It's just lovely.
Oh, no, I'm definitely not watching it. If it's ethereal.
That's it.
And weepy?
All right, what else you have for us, Danny?
All right, new early park entry and extended evening hours coming to Walt Disney World for Disney Resort guests. A new early theme park entry benefit will be rolled out for all guests staying at a Walt Disney World Resort hotel, as well as select additional hotels, which usually includes Good Neighbor hotels that have previously seen comparable perks in the past. Early theme park entry will begin on October 1st and will take place at every theme park. Previous literature from Disney has stated this time period will be an extra half hour. However, in the most recent Disney Parks blog post, it does not state a specific time frame. Guests will still need a valid theme park ticket and park pass in order to enter the theme park. This could be a great way to get a jump start on the most popular attractions ahead of the general public. Another new perk has also been announced for those who are staying at Disney Deluxe Resort Hotels and Disney Deluxe Resort Villas. These guests will also be able to enjoy extended evening hours on select nights at select parks. This is a big benefit for DVC members and anyone who opts to stay in the deluxe category. This will begin in early October, and current dates and times specifics are not yet available. As with any park entry, a valid ticket is necessary, as well as a valid park pass. Guests using this perk may also use park hopping to experience the extended hours as long as they have entered the park in which their original park pass was made. For both of these options, there will be select rides, attractions, merchandise, and food options available. Guests are being encouraged to bring their Magic Band, Disney Magic Mobile Pass, or other resort identification.
So early entry for everybody staying at a Disney resort, only after hours for deluxe guests.
Right.
That's the way it's shaping up.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I think this is just the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been rumored for how many years now, John? I mean, I think I've listened to you guys conjecture about this possibility for, I want to say, 10 years. I mean, it's at least been 8 that this could possibly be coming, that there is more of a, you know, there is a more of a hierarchy for those willing to spend more or able to spend more to stay in the more deluxe resorts. So I think I agree with Tracy. I think this is just the tipping point. So this is just the toe in the water.
So is it fair? If I'm going to pay more for a deluxe resort, is it fair that I get something in addition that other folks don't get?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that for me, I mean, not always the popular opinion, I think, you know, it's the same anywhere I vacation. If I, you know, if I'm willing to pay more, I get more.
On a Korean ship, there's suite restaurants.
Right. I mean, to buy a park admission, I'm guaranteed admission to the park.
During regular hours.
I have regular hours. I have admission to the park. If where I choose to stay then increases my benefits or changes my benefits, Universal's been doing it for years. It's the same there. So I'm not surprised. I think we need more. Maybe this is my travel agent hat. There has to be more reason to stay at a deluxe than the resort, because the resort isn't enough anymore for a couple reasons. I think Disney deluxe resorts are deluxe on Disney property, but wouldn't necessarily all be considered deluxe out in the, you know, non-Disney world. A lot of people, the argument is we spend very little time at the resort. So, you know, do we pay extra just to have better amenities at the resort that we're not going to use? So by translating into in-park benefits, it just, you know, it just, there's more reason. And I also think there has to be more of a divide between what guests staying at Disney resorts are getting versus guests that are staying at Good Neighbor. You know, a guest staying at the Swan and Dolphin should not have the same benefits as a guest who's paying Yacht Club prices. There has to be, it's just the real world. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, with Disney, they've always shied away from doing that. I think they're seeing COVID as a reset. You know, they've kind of stripped back to basics. And so now, as you're reintroducing things, you know, maybe it's a reset to relook at how you're doing it. I just think there's got to be more reason than just the resort itself.
So do you think that this is enough of a perk to drive someone from a moderate to a deluxe resort?
I think it can be. I think it's more of a perk on a shorter stay. Getting those extra hours on a shorter stay maybe means more to somebody who's staying 4 nights than staying 7 to 10 nights. So I think it can be. I think it's more, I see it more of a perk as driving somebody to a Disney deluxe as opposed to Swan and Dolphin. I see more of the comparison there than I do moderate to deluxe, maybe. But I mean, let's be fair. If your budget is not deluxe, it doesn't matter what they offer. I think every family has a budget for their trip. And as long as they're not taking away things that are available during regular times, then I don't have an issue with it. It's if they start take, you know, and I don't consider after hours regular time.
Right. But that's, you know, fair enough to say that this is, they're not shortening the regular hours of a theme park to allow someone to be in there later. You know, it's not like you're saying, okay, all your guests have to get out at 8 and then deluxe guests can stay from 8 to 10. They're adding hours to the regular hours
for the deluxe guests. It's a small world by class.
I cannot. Denny completely disagrees with us, and I can't wait to hear hers for a second.
I don't know that I completely disagree with it, but I do. I understand what y'all are saying as far as it is an after hours thing. It's not taking away from normal operating hours, but I've been that mom in the park until 2 a.m. With my kids on vacation because we stay at a Disney World resort. I've been the one who has gone, yes, we need a Mickey bar at midnight and we need to go ride the Astro Orbiter and we need to go ride People Mover and do all the things that we can because we can, because we are staying at a Disney resort. That was one of the perks that was before COVID was a regular. That was something that families knew. I mean, it was like this special, spectacular, secret kind of thing that we got to stay in the, you know, especially Magic Kingdom, just super late. It's something that you only do, you know, when you're on vacation, obviously. But so while it's not necessarily during operating hours, it is going to feel like something is being taken away because it was there for so long and is woven into the fabric of the Walt Disney World Vacations for so many families and friends who have come here for years, just to know that they cannot do that unless they fork out the extra money to stay at a deluxe resort is going to be a hard pill to swallow.
Denny, I saw Bruce Springsteen in the 70s for $7.
Yes.
If I want to sit in the front now, I have to have an Amex gold card and pay $400 for a ticket.
I understand.
All my life, concert prices were the same price. So that's just changed. We have to see this as just a change.
Oh, I agree.
I understand that it was there for a long time, but Disney's not running, you know, a charity thing.
Yes. It's,
you pay to play. And
I feel sorry for the cast members now who have to enforce this, because it's bad enough when it's, you know, on-site guests versus not on-site guests and all of this thing. We have to usher people through. Well, now people are going to have to show where they're staying on-site. You know, I don't know if they get a wristband. I don't know how Disney's going to work this out, put it on your app or whatever it is. But that poor cast member who now has to sort of usher that family out and say, no, I'm sorry.
But they do that during parties, too. The park closes at parties, and you're allowed to pay extra to stay at a hard ticket event. And you have to funnel through a space where you have to show your wristband. I think they should use fluorescent spray paint.
Tag them.
I think to Denny's point, if, and I do understand your point of view as well, Denny, I certainly do. I think if everybody was getting that party for free and now had to pay for it, I think is the difference that Denny is saying. It used to be an included perk and now it's going to cost extra. So I get what she's saying about that. And I think the answer is not the, I don't know what the answer is, but I think one of the things is at Disney, the parks and the resorts have always been one. We've always seen them as one unit. Whereas at Universal, it's always been two. So what the parks did was always different than the resorts. So I don't think we make the same connection there. So that's part of it. But I think it comes down to, we need to have a bigger divide between what on-site resort guests and off-site resort guests get, even if they're a good neighbor. I just think there has to be more of a divide.
Especially with that.
There has to be more benefits to being on-site. And then if you're going to manipulate those benefits within the categories, but there has to be more of a reason now to stay on-site if they want to continue to sell on-site.
Especially with the removal of the Magical Express, that being taken away from on-site guests. You know, it's always easier to start something new than it is to take something away from somebody. So maybe people will think this is something new as opposed to you had this before and now it's going to be gone.
It's also a scary progression that's starting to work now that, you know, first it's something like this where now you have to start thinking about it as a family, like, oh, well, if we want the perks of something like extended after hours, then, and we have to stay deluxe for that or a villa, then now that 2 or 3 times a year vacation we take is going to turn into once and maybe once every other year instead of going 2 to 3 times a year. And then if anything ever comes of, like, they, this morning, the big news all over the internet was the new paid premier access option for FastPass at Disneyland Paris. If that is then translated into Walt Disney World or even Disneyland, then you're looking at the next step of, okay, now it's even more expensive on top of what it was before. So I think that's where I don't necessarily have a stance one way or another, whether or not this is good or bad. I don't stay on property enough to even try to pretend like I have a say in this one, but I can see how for people who are not here, how it's starting to look very, very scary in terms of prices going up to have the vacation that you got used to being able to do maybe even a couple times a year.
A little insight into that, Craig. What we're seeing and what the industry is seeing in general is that there was so much pent-up demand for vacation that during COVID and the pandemic that people now are willing to spend more on their vacations. So we're seeing people go to deluxe resorts that might have stayed in a moderate. We see people staying longer because a lot of this is this idea that I missed out on my last vacation. So, you know, I don't know if that, if this is a one-time sort of change in mentality that says I've saved up now a year, so I'm going to spend that in 2022, or if it's a permanent change in how people think about their vacations. But I think that in general, that people are looking for extra stuff. When you talk about Universal and you talk about staying at the higher end resorts and you get that special pass, you know, or if you look at something like MaxPass, you know, things like that are things that people are actually asking about. VIP tours and things like that. Can I purchase that? So I don't know. I don't know if it's a shift in the mindset. I don't know if it's the idea that maybe only people who have a great deal of money can go to Disney. So they're willing to spend that. That might be the reason too.
My issue is that this translates across all kinds of vacations.
Yeah.
This isn't just Disney. If you go to a beach resort, you can stay 2 blocks off the beach for less than you can stay on the beach. So yeah. It's, you know, you're paying for the perks that you want. If you're just going to sleep in your room, what difference does it make if you're on the beach? So I think that, I guess I don't see this as that wildly different. I mean, if I want to go to a Broadway show, I have to pay more for a better seat. You're buying perks anywhere you go. So I don't see that as this different. I think the fact that Disney did it for a long time and everybody can have the same thing, I think they see the trend. All my screen is just going really weird.
I think Danny went away. I think Danny was flipping us all off. Want us to see.
But I
you're all wrong.
But I don't see this as wildly different than any place else we go. You know, you go on a cruise, you pay more to stay higher up in a bigger room. It's not sort of this, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not that we all get the same perks. You have to pay for the extra stuff, you know?
Yeah, I think it also sort of relates to the fact that the Disney community is so vocal and, you know, people are used to the way they used to vacation. So that always comes into play too, where I don't think, you know, a lot of people are out there complaining about paying more for a better ticket at a Broadway show as they are for Disney. All right, let's move on.
Can I add one thing about what Craig said with the FastPass? I just want to make sure everybody knows that this is what Disneyland Paris has said they're doing. Anything else that's happening with fast passes on this end of this side of the pond is nothing but rumor and conjecture. So please don't email your dreams agent with a list of questions. They don't know how it's going to work. They don't know what the cost is going to be. And they don't know how much each ride is going to cost. So just to put it out there that this is Disneyland Paris only. We have nothing to tell us it's coming to this side of the pond. So as soon as more information is available, it'll be shared in multiple places.
However, don't you think it's a test? Don't you think it's a test?
Oh, sure. I think there's going to be something. I don't think it's going to be that, but I think there's going to be something for sure.
I think what you're looking at is let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
And then we'll see how we can.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely agree that it's, I don't believe FastPass is going to come back the same way it left.
Due to guest demand.
It's true.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the next news story. What you got for us, Denny?
All right. Lastly, we have Run Disney announcing the return of in-person races at Walt Disney World. Those who enjoyed participating in Run Disney marathons at the Walt Disney World Resort will be thrilled to know that in-person races are back beginning the fall of 2021. The 21-22 season will include the following four events. Disney Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend, powered by Aftershocks, November 4th through 7th, 2021, Walt Disney World Marathon Weekend, January 5th through the 9th, 2022, Disney Princess Half Marathon Weekend, February 24th through the 27th, 2022, and Run Disney's Springtime Surprise Weekend, presented by Otterbox, March 31st through April 3rd, 2022. Run Disney is reminding participants that COVID-19 guidelines may change before the return to on-site running and that race weekends may not include every element from previous years. The 2021 Wine and Dine Half Marathon Weekend will kick off the season with its theme, Wickedly Delicious, celebrating four favorite Disney villains. This weekend will include a 5K, a 10K, half marathon, and Disney two-course challenge, both the 10K and the half marathon. The post-race party will cap off the weekend so runners can celebrate with their family and friends and at Epcot with an exclusive after-hours access to the park and the food and wine festival. Now, some new opportunities for runners have been announced as well. Run Disney's Springtime Surprise Weekend. For each race season, the fourth weekend will be the Springtime Surprise Weekend that will include a different race themes and distances every year. Secondly, on the first morning of the Disney Princess Half Marathon Weekend, Run Disney will host Disney Princess Sunrise Yoga in front of Cinderella Castle before the theme park opens. The professionally led yoga session will be the most magical way to prepare your mind and body for a race. Third, all Run Disney races will have a virtual race option that will allow Run Disney fans across the country to participate in their favorite races, even if they can't make it to Walt Disney World to run in person. Runners will be encouraged to run on the same morning of the on-site events and will receive the same finisher medals. That's the big deal about the whole thing. And lastly, the Run Disney Kids races during each event weekend will become Run Disney Kids Adventures, focused on health, fitness, and fun for kids. For all the information on pricing and registration dates, head on over to rundisney.com.
It's all about the jewelry.
Mm-hmm. The bling.
It's all about getting those medals.
Does anyone check and see if you actually run?
I think there's cameras.
That was my question. What proof do I have to show?
Wouldn't you like a wall of medals behind you? I'm wondering how much they're worth. I wonder how much I have to pay for them.
Craig, are you going to run this year?
I've kind of given up on Run Disney races. They're just way too expensive for what you get out of it. Like, our Kylie and I's favorite race to run in Orlando is called Best Damn Race. And you run around like Lake Eola and parts of downtown through the Milk District. It's like, if you sign up in the first 100 people, it's like $25. And then the max price goes up to like $45. And at the end of the race, they give you a ton of free food and pizza, all you can drink beer and spirits, and you still get your shirt and you get the medal. But it's literally, I mean, you don't get to run through Disney parks with it, but as you start to do more races outside of the Disney parks, you see how wildly priced they are for the short experience of running through a theme park. So,
but there are a lot of people who run in other marathons who love the Disney races. They love that, going through maybe backstage areas and coming in contact with characters and stuff. That's a big deal for people. So,
yeah,
it's also good for beginners. Like, I did a 10K. I know, it's shocking. I did a 10K in January, I think. I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Are Canadians' K's worth less than American K's?
No. It's called the 10K. I didn't name it. It's not a Canadian race. I did it in Disney, but I never would have done that anywhere else. Like, it was the fact that I was doing it at Disney that had pushed me to do it. Now, somewhere around 8K, I thought, I'm going to die right here. What was I thinking? But
look, you're goofy.
Oh, look, I hope he knows CPR. But I mean, I think that there's that too. And I mean, when I did it, there were like some serious racers there. And I know from my client base, it has a very significant following. I just wonder though, Craig, if it's the same crowd that's doing yoga before the race, that's waiting for the pizza and beer after the race. You might not be talking to two different running groups.
Yeah.
I would be the one that showed up at the pizza and beer going,
finished.
I love the pizza in beer perk. That is it for me versus Disney handing you a box with the cheapest mass-produced chips in the world and fake cheese and one Powerade and a banana and saying, here you go, that's what your $200+ got you. Plus, it's just I loved the races that I did. I did a bunch of Star Wars ones, Wine and Dine once, and I think maybe two others, all the way back to when they still had the Everest Challenge even around. And I think they are awesome, especially when you're getting into running and you don't know if it's something you want to do and really, really make a sport out of it. It is, as Tracy said, it's a perfect entry into the world of racing. It's just you have to have a lot of money to be able to maintain it for what you get. You know, it's great when you're running through the parks and sections where there is entertainment and music, but when you're running all the way down World Drive and it just looks like it's never ending and there's no music, no one's cheering you on, and it's just all crowded together, it's not very magical at all, but it does make up for it in those moments. And I would never take back any of the races that I did. I love them all. It's just I finally hit the price where if we want to do 5 races a year, give or take, we can do them outside of Disney, but I can really only afford to do 2 Disney races. And then having to wake up at 2 a.m. after going to bed at 11 p.m. just to get up and get to the race on time. It's not pleasant for me anymore, but I understand why people still love it and continually do it for every single race.
Mm-hmm. To each his own. And that's, I think, what we love about Disney, right? Yep. Is there's something for everybody. Yep. You know, there's yoga for Kevin.
Early morning yoga.
Early morning yoga.
Laying on the ground in the Magic Kingdom. Everything about that sounds magical.
It does. All right. Denny, thank you very much for reading the news. I appreciate it. All right. We're going to move on. Most of us here, except for Tracy, had the opportunity to see the Happily Ever After fireworks.
Are you having a stroke in installment?
No, I didn't want to hurt her feelings, so I said it aside.
What? What? Oh, wow. I like post-pandemic, John.
Really? Well, she was going to be here, but every time she tried to leave Canada, her shock collar went off. So, you know, it makes it difficult.
Oh, that would separate those deluxe folks, too.
It would. All right. So we're talking about the Happily Ever After fireworks, new fireworks at Walt Disney World, new fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. First of all, fireworks are back.
Yay.
Super, super exciting. You know, when I think about Disney and I think about the fact that, you know, they don't really have to do fireworks, right? It's not something that's kind of like guaranteed or, you know, but the fact that they put these on every night and that they've decided to bring them back is pretty incredible. Kevin and I were invited to a travel agent dessert party, for the Happily Ever After fireworks first night. That first official night. And I'm going to let others describe the fireworks because Unfortunately, where they have these dessert parties is really not the best view for fireworks. There are trees in front of you.
We were under a roof with trees in front of us, but it was pouring.
Yeah. So Tomorrowland Terrace, we had a seat. We were dry. We had snacks. It was fun, but this really isn't like, you don't get the full experience when you, as you would if you're standing on Main Street right in front of the castle. So I'm going to let Craig and Denny talk about their experience because you were both there, correct?
Yes. Yep. Right. Craig, Denny, do you want to go first? Okay. Yeah. All right.
You go first.
Well, thank you. So, so we showed up. My hubby was with me. It was the first time that we've been together in the Magic Kingdom for a long time. So that was a lot of fun. It, like John said, it was a rainy night. And I wrote an article yesterday that's up on the Diz now with some of my just the four top thoughts that I had, just pieces of advice. If you're going to go see Happily Ever After this summer in Florida, because it is summer in Florida, and you can pretty much place money on the fact that it will rain at some point in time. And while sometimes these storms come and go, and you're left with sunshine and a sauna, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they linger. And that's what happened on opening night on Thursday. Storms rolled in, rain rolled in, and it lingered. And it wasn't, it was a deluge from time to time. Around about the time that we were trying to pick up our Casey's Corner dinner order, it was the deluge. And we had... And this is great word for of warning for anybody fixing to go to Happily Ever After. If you're going to go and you're going to think that you're going to pick up a table, you know, pick out a table, pick up your food and eat. Sometimes it doesn't always go that way because it was raining so hard. Everyone who had a table, there are limited tables inside by Casey's Corner. And then there are tables outside of Casey's Corner. No one was moving from those seats because it was raining cats and dogs. And so we ended up trying to take our food over to Tomorrowland Terrace. And with, you know, I was holding the umbrella. My husband's holding the food. But they had already closed Tomorrowland Terrace for the media event that was not going to happen for another 40 minutes. And so a bunch of people were left stuck, absolutely stuck. And we ended up eating on the ground, but that hot dog was so good. But here's the deal. If you are there, and even if it's raining, there will be spots. Gosh, we joined everyone at the hub at about an hour out. So when we came back around, we went and rode some rides because you can enjoy shorter wait times while everybody is starting to panic over which spot they want to, you know, grab for fireworks. And there was plenty of space to be able to join the group right in front of the castle. For those who weren't there and you're just imagining in your mind's eye what it's like to stand there in the hub with everyone else getting to see fireworks that you haven't seen in well over a year. It was all of that and more. So
the thing too is, you know, because of the rain, you know, you have got the people who want to be there and see it. Mm-hmm. It's not just, oh, fireworks are happening, let's stop and look at it. These are the people who really want to be there. So there was this sort of energy in the park that mm-hmm. night, and people Absolutely. Were excited and cheering. Tell us about your impressions of the actual show.
Well, the actual show itself is, if you've not, number one, and I've said it before on the show, if you've never seen Happily Ever After, or it's going to be a while before you come back down, check out what Craig does on the Diz YouTube channel, because you won't find a better representation of the fireworks spectacular anywhere else. That is the creme de la creme. So he takes very seriously what he does. I hope it's okay that I'm saying this, Craig.
Absolutely.
But he takes very, very seriously what he does, and it shows. So definitely check that out. It is the fireworks show itself was wonderful. The whole nine yards. It was so much fun. And we talk a lot about shared experiences here at Walt Disney World. That was a shared experience to top all shared experiences. Being able to stand there with a bunch of other Disney Parks fans, Happily Ever After fans, and people were singing along. The fireworks themselves were amazing. The projections, amazing. If you can get up close to the castle, please do so, because you then get to really see those projections, because they add so much to the overall show, the theming of that particular section. And then something to keep in mind, and this is something I mentioned in yesterday's article, and I won't go into the detail here that I did there. So if you want to, head to wdwinfo.com to read that. But sometimes Tinkerbell does not take flight. And that happened on Thursday evening. And it is this amazing crescendo of a moment. And we're all standing there just waiting and watching, you know, phones ready to record the magic behold before us, unfold before us. And no, there was, it was raining. And
it's
safety
too dangerous.
Is, really, it's safety yeah. is the first key for Disney. And so sometimes that happens. And it's good to manage expectations before you roll in for the big night. But it was, John, it really was, long story long, it was really everything that I wanted it to be personally. It was wonderful.
Incredible show. Mm-hmm. I'm amazed at how much better they're getting at projections.
Mm-hmm.
Every time yep. it's sharper, it's cleaner, there's more going on. It's really incredible. Craig,
besides
tell us.
Craig's video, if you're interested in a good projection video on Disney Plus, they've recently put up Disneyland Paris's, what they call their fireworks show, they call theirs Illumination. And in my mind, it was a great representation of what the projections can look like. It's only about 25 minutes, but something fun to look at.
It was fun. Craig, tell us your impressions of the actual fireworks.
Oh, I mean, okay, so I had the benefit of actually seeing Happily Ever After, not just on that first night on July 1st, but I was there a couple nights before for the Magic Kingdom cast member preview. One of the cast members there that I'm friends with invited me. I did not reach out and ask to him. He reached out to me and asked if I would go as his plus one. And I said, absolutely, of course, I'm not going to miss out on that, because I knew that as great as the first show back for the public would be, there was going to be something more special for the cast members being able to see it for the first time. And it was. We also have that video up on our Diz YouTube channel, youtube.com/WDWinfo. And it's marked as Magic Kingdom cast preview. The quality on that one's not as good, because I was just stuck with my cell phone and a gimbal, because I didn't want to come in with like a tripod rig and all of that and disrupt cast members, because the party was there for them. They needed to be the ones to deserve it. The fact that they gave plus ones was kind of bonkers to me, but it was very nice. But truly watch that video for the reactions when Tink flew that night. I think everyone around me was at least tearing up, if not full-blown crying. The crowd was deafening. You could not hear the music over people losing their minds. It was like, it was the true definition of Disney magic. And it was awesome on July 1st as well. And people were really excited, and it was great to see it all back. But my gosh, that was just was an awful night, unfortunately, weather-wise, that it had to debut. But it's so nice to have fireworks back at Walt Disney World. It's the icing on the cake at the end of the night, truly, to have Happily Ever After at Magic Kingdom. And I know Epcot right now, you're just stuck with Epcot Ever After, but it's still, there's nothing quite
Epcot
like fireworks
forever.
At Disney. What did I call it?
Epcot Ever After.
Epcot Ever After. Epcot Ever
Which
after.
Is the same thing, I guess.
Epcot Never Ending. It's just going to be never ending.
Clearly, I don't even listen to myself talk.
But again, so fantastic to have the fireworks back. This show is incredible. I think what happens is, you know, when Disney does fireworks and then they change them and they do new ones, you know, we get to be critical. Oh, you know, this one was better than that one, and this one, I like this better than that. I think it's just so great to have them back that it doesn't matter, that they're so, Disney does all their fireworks incredibly well. So the fact that we can see them is a huge, huge plus, but it's a great show. It's a really great show.
I have to say, I was impressed with something else. That park was crowded. Hmm. And I was shocked at how well Disney emptied that park, because the fireworks were over and it was raining. So there wasn't a lot of people who were, you know, oh, let's stick around. It was like, let's get out of here before we are flooded. And I was shocked at how little time it took us to get out of the park or get out of the park and get on a monorail. I was very pleased with how they handled it.
They did a great job.
John, did they give you any indication of when the dessert parties are going to come back?
They did not. Oh. I can ask.
Just curious. I mean, the fact that they had done that one, kind of give with the fireworks back now, kind of have a little bit of hope that maybe they will.
I have a feeling this was less about a dessert party as it was about a special event.
Gotcha.
Because I was told, because I asked about some of the things we had, and I said, is this going to be what's available at the dessert party? And I was told they pick these things out for this event.
Right.
So that might
so it was just more of a special event happening in that space than it was. Gotcha.
A regular dessert party and then added that on to it. But yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to that too. We're looking forward to dessert parties coming back and all of the regular stuff coming back. Last minute thoughts on the fireworks that we want to add?
I would say just keep in mind that people are really, really crazy about seeing fireworks the right way right now on Main Street, especially knowing that Happily Ever After has a short shelf life, at least for now, because Disney Enchantment is coming at the start of the 50th anniversary. So be prepared to stake out your spot for quite a while if you want one of the ideal spots that is going to be required. You can sometimes get lucky when they do the push of, okay, everyone stand up and move forward and fill in all the available space. Sometimes you can sneak in if you know how to time it just the right way. But just plan on waiting at least 90 minutes, if not longer, for those best spots.
Excellent. All right. So I want to end the show with talking a little bit about what it's like to be here in Central Florida during severe weather, during a hurricane. Right now we have a tropical storm. And as usual with tropical storms, it's hitting us in these outer bands. So we just got done with a downpour, and I'm getting alerts on my phone.
There's thunder and lightning off in the distance.
Lightning and thunder. So, you know, this sort of triggered a memory I have of being at Universal during a hurricane, which was a great deal of fun. But also, this is something that we get asked a lot as travel agents. What happens if there's a hurricane while I'm in Walt Disney World? What should I do? Should I wait and not travel during hurricane season? I have my opinions, but I'd like to hear from you guys first and see what you think. Tracy, what do you think?
I think they're too unpredictable to, I mean, I think number one, a lot of people can only travel during hurricane season. It's summer right now. This feels a little earlier to me. That, I mean, I know it is hurricane season, but we're typically not dealing with talking about Disney this early in the season and affected by hurricane. It tends to be more August, September for us. But I think it's impossible to say, you know, for a lot of people not to travel. I think if you are traveling, how many of these things affect Central Florida or Orlando to the point of closing parks is rare. It's not a regular occurrence. We can't, if they say that, you know, this hurricane that we've been watching Elsa now seems like for years, but I think it's only been about a week maybe. People are already at that point asking about, you know, I need to change my dates. I need to cancel. What's Disney going to do? It's way too soon. Until there's, Disney doesn't do anything until there's official warnings for the area. And until those official warnings come, there's nothing. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing Disney can do. There's no exceptions made. It's assumption of business as usual, because often it ends up being business as usual.
And so, it's not like these sneak up on you. These are not tornadoes which pop up and you have minutes. We've known about Elsa, I think, since the movie came out. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's going 20 miles an hour. It's going 10 miles an hour. It's going to go this way. It's going to go that way. That changes minute to minute, day by day, and depending on who you listen to. So, and Tracy's right. Very often, we get told there's a hurricane approaching. And our biggest threat normally is the outer bands. It's rare that an eye goes over the top of us. I don't know the last time. I want to say it did in 2004, but I can't think of another one.
It did when we were at Universal.
Oh, yeah, that one. I forgot about that one. But the outer bands can produce biblical rain. It can also produce thunder and lightning. And you might be in a park, and the thunder and lightning might affect the operation of certain attractions, where certain attractions will close down. That definitely will affect a water park. They will close everything and make you get out of the water. But that's part of living in Florida.
I want to remind folks, Orlando, Walt Disney World, is the center of the state. Storms generally go up either coast. As Kevin mentioned, occasionally they cross the state. But because of where we are, you tend to get less of the severe weather. It doesn't hit Central Florida. You get the outer bands and you get high winds and all of that. So first of all is location of where Walt Disney World is and what's the likelihood of it hitting here. But the other thing we should talk about too is that all of these buildings and structures have been built to hurricane code, that nothing is, you know, just thrown up. So you're actually, in my opinion, you are more safe in a Disney hotel than you are in, say, a home somewhere, mm-hmm. because you're in something that's specifically made to, I believe it's category fives is what the standard is for hurricane strength. So you are in something that's purpose-built to be safe. And the other thing, too, is we all know Disney has their own power. So, you know, if power goes out, you know, around Central Florida, Disney will probably still have power.
That's something. Disney also has a great water management system. So you wouldn't be prone to flooding.
Right. Danny, you want to add something?
If I remember correctly, it was last year, the year before that when Pete was on CNN and said, look, you know, if there's a big hurricane coming, then I want to put my mom in a Disney resort hotel. Like there's a reason why. And if I remember correctly, Disney exceeds the standards. Like they go above and beyond to make sure that the place in which so many have spent so much to stay for, any given amount of time is exactly as safe, if not safer, than it really needs to be. And here's the thing. If you are in a Walt Disney World resort during something like a hurricane, know that there are cast members there who will go above and beyond what you will see possibly in other resorts, other locations off Walt Disney World property to reassure safety. They'll have different activities going on. They might bring some characters in to meet with resort guests and have special surprise moments for those guests. There'll be, you know, different food offerings offered in some of the quick service dining locations. So there's extra pixie dust, as our friend Jackie likes to say, there's extra pixie dust that they will sprinkle throughout the resort to kind of help, you know, guests, if it's really bad, to help guests who are staying there or might be stuck there to be okay. The last one that came through that motored right on up, you know, Route 27, we ended up taking my in-laws over to Port Orleans French Quarter because they were days without electricity. Mm-hmm. Whereas French Quarter, everything was, you know, business as usual, and the cast members were absolutely amazing. And it so happens that we no sooner checked Tom and Gwen in that the electricity came back on after being off for days, and they were amazing. The money was refunded. Like they will go above and beyond to help continue that that level of service for your vacation. They want you to be safe and they want you to be happy.
Also, keep in mind that chances are very good that those cast members are not home with their families.
Right, exactly. They all had different levels of need at that moment. Yet when we were standing there at the check-in desk with my in-laws, they were the top priority. Were, you know, this couple who had been without electricity, like, bless their hearts for doing that. But yeah.
Craig, anything you want to add that we might have missed?
No.
Excellent. Good contribution.
I don't really have a lot to say. I was kind of talking to people in the chat about it. Like, I'm not scared of necessarily the hurricane portions of it. I am terrified of the tornadoes that come from the outer bands. That is what scares me about hurricanes. And contrary to popular belief, tornadoes can still pop up anywhere. It's not always just out in rural areas. It can impact anywhere. So just keep that in mind too. You're not, just because you might be on property, that doesn't mean that anything can't happen. So still take precautions, be smart. Don't walk outside if you see debris blowing around and stuff. Just use common sense more than I have.
That's a big thing.
And listen.
Yep. I think one of the things that is the most important part about traveling during hurricane season is the actual travel portion of it. You know, once you get to Disney, once you get to Universal, you're going to be fine. Things are going to be great. But, you know, you got to be careful that, you know, your flights might be delayed. You know, traveling on the roadways could be dangerous. So this is the stuff you really should be considering. And we experienced during the last batch of really bad storms was that Disney was really great about extending people's stays who couldn't get out, who couldn't fly home. So that's another sort of plus, as opposed to staying somewhere where they might say, listen, you know, you can't stay. We got people coming in. Disney has the capacity for you. Anything else you want to add?
No.
I think you should come during hurricane season.
It was fun, I have to say. I never got to experience one before. So it was neat to see. We were at Universal and I was watching on TV and it was showing the eye was exactly where we were. And it was coming by, but the building was built so well that I couldn't even hear the storm. I could see how severe it was, but I couldn't hear it. We didn't lose internet. We didn't lose power. We had TV the whole time. I mean, that's where you,
that's where I would want to be. Fascinated me about being at Universal. Universal hotels are pet friendly.
Yes.
So it was like the zoo checked in.
Yeah, you had all these therapy dogs. You could just hug other people's dogs. It was perfect.
But there were like huge parrot cages checking in. And it was like someone had a llama.
It was my favorite thing was Tracy called us up and said, should I be filling the tub? I'm watching the news and they're saying, fill your tub. Like, you're at Universal. You don't need to fill your
tub. When I'm home in Canada and I'm watching, you know, CNN coverage of the hurricanes, people are putting up plywood. They're filling the tub. So I'm like, John, where do I get the plywood? What do I do?
Better get to Home
Depot. For those who are listening, that's usually coastal. People will tell you to put masking tape on your windows. You don't have to do that on your bathroom mirror, okay? And filling the tub helps you flush the toilet. If you're in a Disney World, you probably don't have to masking tape or plywood or fill the tub.
No, they might frown upon you trying to plywood up your windows in your resort room.
I think that might
Anderson
be
told me to do it.
Exactly. Whatever he tells me, I do.
No, it's Jim Santori and the guy with the yellow rain slicker blowing off his face. We know about these hurricanes like a month in advance. So you have time.
Right. We weren't worried about the storm today. We weren't worried that it might turn into a hurricane and come our way. The biggest problem would be for us inconvenience. You know, we want to make sure that we don't have to go out in, you know, a torrential downpour or high winds. That's it.
It's keeping people off the highway, too.
Yes, exactly.
You know, if it's thundering and lightning and biblical rain, you should probably not be on the highway. Plus, I have two dogs that are afraid of thunder. So,
So don't be afraid to travel during hurricane season. Don't be afraid to come to Walt Disney World. It sounds worse than it is. So with those words of wisdom, I will leave everybody. Thank you guys for helping me and participating in the conversation today. Thank you everybody at home for listening and watching. That'll do it for the show.